I don't know if we fully realize, I don't know if I fully have grasped the wonder of the reality of what has just been shared. But we will, with the grace of God, look to unpack some thoughts this morning around this. Father, we do pray that your Spirit would abound. Lord, I ask that you would speak. Open our ears to hear. Lord, our minds to comprehend, our hearts to receive that which you have for us. Lord, we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Fascinating words which I wasn't planning to share in Ephesians. And I just want to start there. And we find, just hear these words. Speaking of Jesus, it says that he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God. Built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone, in him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. Thank you, Dell. That is exciting. That is what has been accomplished for us. That is where I now stand and where I now dwell. I am a citizen. I'm no longer estranged from the Father. I'm no longer absent from his presence. He's no longer absent in my life, but I have been reconciled, redeemed, saved, being sanctified, justified, made right before God. And we, Paul says in another one of his letters, that you are the temple, the dwelling place of the very presence of God. We find here in this letter in Ephesians in chapter 2 in verse 17 and following what it is that he is doing. We're being built and worked and shaped into the very holy temple of God, a place for his presence. You and I, Del, are excited about this. This is good news. This is exciting news. This is unbelievable news. What do we do with this? What do we do with the wonder of what it is that God has done for us in Christ? Elsewhere, Paul tells us that we have, and he's speaking about our body specifically, but you have been bought with a price. You are owned now by God in and through the work of Christ, and that is a gift. Paul notes for himself, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. This life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself, who died for me. And Peter, in his epistle, his second epistle, I believe it's in the second epistle, he notes the wonder of the experience that's recorded in Matthew's Gospel of the Transfiguration, and what he has seen and what he has received from God, recognizing who it is that Christ is in all of his glory. And he encourages those who are listening to the word to be attentive. Listen. We have been given a calling which is bigger and better than anything this world could ever call you into or ever call you for. You're part of the kingdom of God. You're one of his children. You are his temple. We are his dwelling place by the gift of the Spirit. I want to stay here long enough at First Baptist. Matthew chapter 17. Gospel of Matthew chapter 17. We read, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. Let me jump back for a moment to Exodus chapter 24. Exodus 24. And we get this wonderful picture within Exodus. We read in verse 15, "Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, entering into the very presence of God. And the disciples have a very similar experience with Jesus, these three that he's called, of entering into and seeing the wonder of the glory of God revealed in the transfigured Christ, a vision which not everyone had the wonder and the blessing to be able to see, but these ones did. Jesus takes with him Peter and James and his brother John. And they go up. We read in verse 2. "And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white." We get a similar account. If you let me flip back once more to Exodus 34, we find this picture. Exodus 34. We read verse 29. "And Moses came down from Mount Sinai. And as he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God." Do people know when you've been talking to God? It's not always evident on Sunday morning, maybe, that we have entered into the very presence of God. His glory is here. His presence is here. "When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites that he had what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining. And Moses would put on the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with the Lord." I'm not expecting our faces to literally shine necessarily. But I wonder what it looks like when we've entered into the very presence of God as his people. What does it look like as we gather on a Sunday morning and become his temple? You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do we recognize the presence that is among us, and are we impacted by the truth that we are no longer strangers to God, but in and through the work of Christ, we have been reconciled. We have been redeemed and we have been restored. In Matthew's Gospel 17, a little bit past where it was read, it notes that John came to restore all things. There's a work of restoration, and the restoration is a returning of a people to the ways and into the presence of God. As believers, we are that people, restored, brought into the very presence of God for the purpose of living for God. Can I give you one more passage? All right. If you said no, I was going to be a little bit concerned. 2 Corinthians. Let me read this for you. 2 Corinthians. And we read. I'm going to begin at verse 7 and hear these words, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the words of Paul. "Now if the ministry of death, chiseled in letters on stone tablets," he's referring to Moses, "came in glory," the shining of Moses' face, came in glory so that the people of Israel could not gaze at Moses' face because of the glory of his face, a glory now set aside, how much more will the ministry of the Spirit come in glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, much more does the ministry of justification abound in glory. Indeed, what once had glory has lost its glory because of the greater glory. For if what was set aside came through glory, much more has the permanent come in glory. You recall in Jeremiah 31, Ezekiel 36, the wonderful promises of the prophet that the law was now going to be written on their heart and we would be his people and we would obey his commands. The words of Paul, we will be his temple where the very Spirit dwells. This is what has come. Not stone tablets of law that we find it difficult to abide in or follow, but the very law of God now by the Spirit written on our hearts. If the Ten Commandments were glorious, how much more glorious is the very presence of the Spirit of God among us? This is exciting. The very glory of God among us. Since then we have such a hope in verse 12 of chapter 3 in 2 Corinthians. Since then we have such a hope. We act with great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside, the law. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is a Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. This comes from the Lord, the Spirit. We have the wonder of the very glory of God among us in and through the Spirit who is among us as we gather as His people and as our bodies become the very temple of God for the hope and the purpose of our own transformation from one degree of glory to another. Matthew's Gospel, verses 3 and 4. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If you wish, I will make three dwelling places here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. In and through Christ, all of the law and the prophets have been fulfilled. We have Moses present. We have Elijah, one of the great prophets, present. And in and through Christ, all of this comes into fulfillment and completion. And soon to be his death and resurrection, ascension and giving of the Spirit. And we become the place where his glory dwells. Fascinating picture. The law was given. The prophets were given, so that the people might hear and might become the people of God. In Exodus, we get this great calling of the people of God, that they were to be a people set apart, that they might be a witness to the rest of the world of who the Lord God really is. And they failed at that. But the law was given, the prophets were given, the glory of God and through the stone tablets was given, that they might become the people of God in their time. And now we, fulfilled in Christ, all of the law and the prophets fulfilled and given the Spirit at this point in time, are to be a people transformed, that we might display the wonder of this God who meets among us, who has died for us. Peter, let's set up some booths. Let's commemorate. Let's establish this moment. It is hard not to be sympathetic with Peter's suggestion. that booths might be built to honor Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Like Peter, we desire to secure in place, and if not, to tie down and to domesticate the wild spirit of God's glory, the wonder of His kingdom. We do not wish to face anew the challenge of God's presence. We'd like to make the success of the past our own without having to have the courage of those who entered in and followed Jesus themselves. What does it look like to recognize that we have been called, invited to enter in, to be the place where the presence of God dwells? That we have been called to reflect the wonder and the glory of God in our being, individually and collectively. The church dies or is unfaithful when the achievements of the past are used to ignore the command of the present. And the command given to Peter and the others, listen to him. Can that challenge us this morning? My time is probably up. We like the glory. We like the presence. We like the Spirit. I think of what Joel shared last week in Peter's wonderful revelation. You are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, I'm going to be crucified. And Peter says, God forbid. And then 6 days before this encounter, Jesus says, you are to deny yourselves and take up your cross and follow me. Listen to him. Listen to him. Those who would come after me, those who would dwell in the glory and the wonder of the presence of God, for them to live is Christ. This life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am no longer my own. I have been bought with a price. And I give my life back to the kingdom of God, to the wonder of the glory of the presence of God that I've been invited to live into. What does it look like for us to recognize the glory of Christ? What's it call us to lay down? What's it call us to pick up? What does it call us to be? Father, I pray that we would have a greater insight and revelation into the wonder of who you are in our midst. Your Spirit abiding in us and with us. Your Spirit filling the space as we gather as your people. Your glory being manifest among us. Father, help us to consider the calling and to hear your words. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. But what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man has come with his holy angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what he has done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here today who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Lord, you are here. Help us to see you in this fellowship, in this temple, and to consider your words. To love you with all that we've got. To your praise and to your glory we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen.